This episode of Cattle Call Podcast is sponsored by Battleground South Cigar Lounge. Located between the Arts District and downtown Columbia, Tennessee, Battleground South offers a range of different whiskeys, bourbons, and liquors, as well as cigars, like the one I'm smoking on today's episode. Today, I'm smoking a Casa Cuevas Maduro to officially cross the threshold between February and March of 2021. To keep up with all of the events and products at Battleground South, like their Facebook page and follow them on Instagram. A big thank you to Julian Griffin and the team for sponsoring today's episode, and also a big thank you to you for tuning in to Cattle Call Podcast. See you on the other side. Cattle Call Podcast, I'm Isaac Weston, and this is Smoke and Mirrors for February 2021. If you're new to Cattle Call, Smoke and Mirrors is the monthly reflection episode where I smoke a cigar and I reflect on the guests and interviews from the month before. So it always comes out the first day of the next month. So since it's March 1st, I'm reflecting on February, and then yeah, I smoke a cigar and I reflect, hence Smoke and Mirrors. I'd like to open today's episode with a quote from Gil Bailey. He is a professor, an author, writer, works a lot in like religion, philosophy, theology. The quote I'm reading comes from, I believe it was Wild at Heart, a book by John Eldridge, and he references Gil Bailey. But he says, "Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." Thanks for a great month. February was a short month, but it was a great month. Got in 3 interviews. 2 were officially released. The 3rd will be coming out next week. But also, in one of the interviews, there was a double guest. So for the first time ever, there was a 2-guest interview. So pretty big month. We had Alex Tucker, and then we also had Rachel Haga and Julia Bay. And Rachel and Julia tag-teamed an interview on behalf of Restore Corps, which is an anti-human trafficking organization / ministry out of Memphis, Tennessee. It was just a great quick month. So we'll do a quick reflection on Alex. So Alex Tucker, I've gotten to meet Alex Tucker. I think we officially met 4 or 5 times before we ended up becoming friends. So over the span of a couple years, we had mutual friends, and I'd run into, you know, a group of people out and about, and she would be in the group, and so we'd always reintroduce ourselves and probably knew each other via social media but never really hung out until we ended up living in the same apartment complex. Still didn't hang out, but we would see each other a lot. Her office on campus was right near where I would do a Bible study weekly. So at least once a week, I saw her coming in and out of her office, and we just kind of say hi and eventually just started hanging out, talking, meeting other friends. So have a very interesting relationship with Alex because of that. Love Alex. Had a great little interview with her. If you've not gotten the chance to listen to it yet, Alex is half Indonesian, half American. So because of that, she's half Indonesian, also half white. So she just has a very interesting dynamic and view on things. She was born in Indonesia, but she was raised in Lexington, Tennessee, which is about halfway between Memphis and Nashville, right off Interstate 40, small town. So she was raised there, and then she went to school in Memphis, and that's where she's at now. She currently works for Girl Scouts as an event coordinator. And she's in the middle of Girl Scout cookie season, so she's been pretty overwhelmed, but hopefully they're doing well. One thing I really enjoy talking to Alex about, which we got to touch on for a few minutes during the interview, was just the idea of the gender roles in society, man and woman. How do they coexist? How do they coincide? How do they complement each other? What are the individual roles? What makes, you know, each one unique and special and different? And I just have always enjoyed talking to Alex about that kind of stuff over the last about 2-ish years that I've gotten close with her. It's interesting. She was raised, sadly, her dad passed away when she was young. So she was raised by a single mother who was an immigrant from Indonesia and moved over here and became a very good American citizen. Has learned English, has raised three kids, sent Alex and her sister Morgan both, you know, went through college and have gone on to get jobs, and her son graduated high school and immediately joined the Army and has been stationed. He was in Europe most recently in Poland, but now he's back stateside. So she sent on her three kids to be pretty successful. So it's very admirable what their mom has been able to do as a first generation American. And also it's just cool to see Alex's perspective on things because of that. So it's been great over the years just getting to talk about that kind of stuff and get to hear a whole different side. You know, I was raised by two American parents. I wasn't a small town, I was in the suburbs of Nashville. So it was a definitely different environment than Lexington. So it's just always kind of cool to see our views on things and how a lot of them line up, even if we have different backgrounds, different experiences. So I'm very grateful to talk to Alex about that kind of stuff. And I'm glad we got to kind of get it almost on the record on the podcast, just so possibly other people could hear and learn from it as well. Again, just always admire Alex. Thankful to have a relationship with someone. I do encourage people. I know it's easier said than done, but if you're a guy, you know, have friends that are girls. And if you're a girl, have friends that are guys that you can just have very healthy, wholesome relationships with that, you know, people can turn to and they can look at as a good model. But also, just you can talk about real things where there's no, I guess, ulterior motives there. You know, one thing as a Christian, again, a lot easier said than done to do. But one thing I try to do as like a Christian guy is to kind of be that guy friend to girls I know that they can turn to, not for like relationship problems per se, but if they just need like a man's perspective instead of a woman's perspective, or have an outside perspective, whatever it is, someone that they can just ask or confide in, someone that'll be honest with them. And I don't always do a great job of that, but something I desire to do. And Alex has definitely helped me with something like that, because her and I've gotten to talk about things, and you know, she'll tell me stories or have questions or whatever, and you can kind of provide that insight as a man, and vice versa, her as a woman. So I just am always grateful to have relationships like that. It's definitely something from the Lord. And it's definitely something that is, I think, is lost nowadays. So I definitely encourage people to do it. Of course, we could all be better about it and better at it. Alex, thank you for coming on. Thank you for just talking through your life and being open, being vulnerable, being real lighthearted and fun and easygoing. And sharing your story. Hopefully people were able to learn from it. I really enjoy listening to it back. Come back anytime. I got to see her the other night because Morgan Tucker, her older sister, came on. And Morgan will be the next interview that will be released. It'll be the first one of March. And it'll be another two-part interview. We spent a long time talking about her time abroad in Indonesia as an ESL teacher. ESL is English as a second language. So she was an ESL teacher in Indonesia for about 2.5 years. And during COVID-19, pretty much came back here and is waiting to figure out her next step. But yeah, she came on and we had a great interview, so I'm excited to release that one. Met Morgan through Alex, so thank you again to Alex. Okay, and then we also had the two-part interview, which was Rachel Haga and Julia Bay. So this one was unique, not just because it was a two-person interview, but because it was on behalf of an organization. So back in November, I got to interview Anne Marie Wyatt of Taylor Square Photography in Oxford, Mississippi. And that was like the first time I'd ever interviewed a stranger. After that, I guess I haven't really interviewed a stranger until Rachel Haga. I know Julia from the downline program I did last year, which is kind of like a Bible program, kind of like seminary style classes, and you live with other people in the program. But I met Julia through that program last year. Julia and a couple other young ladies from the program work at Restore Corps, and Restore Corps is kind of working on a little bit of getting their name out there, talking about more what they're doing. And they were available to come on, which was great. We had to work through, I guess, a couple different roadblocks. We were supposed to do it in the fall a couple different times, and then January for Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and it still didn't work out. And then early February, probably the second week of February, we were supposed to do an interview, and that's when everyone got snowed in for about a week, so we had to postpone it again. So, hey, God is sovereign. We got it done. Had a great interview. So it was cool because, you know, I didn't really know anything about Rachel. Of course, you do your research ahead of time, and you look over the website and social media and kind of hear more about what they do and what their mission and their history is, but you don't really know much about the person. So Rachel I met, of course, through Julia. And Rachel had a great story because she lived abroad on missions in Southeast Asia for, I believe it was like 5.5 years, fresh out of college. That's pretty much how she spent her 20s, was overseas on missions. So, what a great way to spend your young, you know, single years. So it was cool hearing Rachel's perspective, but it was also cool that, and very encouraging that, you know, she didn't spend those 5.5 years and then come back and be like, all right, I've paid my dues. I'm going to relax. I'm going to rest for a couple years. Or, hey, you know, I checked that off my bucket list. Now I can just cruise. It was like, all right, I saw a lot of problems over there. And there's a lot of problems over there that America's not immune to. And so now I'm feeling convicted to address those problems. Do I go back over there and do it, or do I do it stateside? And, you know, the Lord revealed to her she needed to do it stateside. And again, God is sovereign. So she started it here. That her and a handful of others started Restore Corps, which is, again, it's anti-human trafficking. They have a three-step approach, pretty much. They call it a three-prong approach to how they do it. It's a two-part interview. It's a wonderful interview. I'm always excited to listen to the podcasts when they come out. I always listen to them the same way all of you guys do, which is right after they're released. And, man, it was just exciting getting to sit there Friday night when I got home from work and just listen to both parts of them and really hear both of the women share their experiences working for Restore Corps and, all the stuff they're doing. Human trafficking is a pretty big deal. I don't think I really realized how big of a deal it was until probably the Trump administration. Just a lot of the stuff I follow, a lot of the news I follow and the research I do, stuff about human trafficking will come up. And I'm not going to get all into politics, but there's a lot of stuff around Trump and some of his initiatives or people that they were doing these human trafficking efforts. And I was like, is it that big of a deal? Of course, not trying to, you know, diminish how bad it is, but it didn't seem like all the stuff going on in the world, human trafficking is that big of a problem, huh? Oh, it's massive. It's crazy. And even somewhere like Memphis, which is just like a top 50 city. It's not a huge city. It's not a small city, but like just riddled with problems with human trafficking. So hearing it firsthand about what Restore Corps is doing for survivors, which are mostly women, there are men too. In fact, in the interview, Rachel mentions how there's female pimps, which that was kind of shocking to me because I didn't think there would be female pimps. So yeah, I mean, it's a whole different world and it's nothing like the movies. I guess that was a huge takeaway for me was when Rachel was talking about how it's not how social media portrays it. It's not how the movies portray it. You know, where the van pulls up in an alley and someone throws a, you know, burlap sack over your head, throws you in the van and you're never seen again. Like, does that happen? Yeah. But is that commonplace? Not at all. In fact, a lot of people end up like almost subliminally getting sucked in or manipulated their way in. I guess the same way with drug trafficking. I've talked to people here working in inner city Memphis and they've kind of said the same thing. And, you know, kids will get roped into drug trafficking as soon as they start riding the bus. We're talking, you know, K to two. You know, here's a little kindergartner. Now, unbeknownst to them, has become a drug mule. And it's almost the same for the human trafficking / I guess sex trafficking is under human trafficking, but kind of the same way where people kind of get roped into it and don't really realize it. Next thing you know, like she's talking about one story. One woman was in for, gosh, 20-ish years, about 20 years before she finally got out. And I think you get in, you don't realize it. It's like, you know, fish don't know they're in water. So it's a whole different approach and a whole different problem than what I initially realized. It really is a great interview. It's probably the best response I've gotten publicly to an interview. Not numbers wise, but in terms of people that don't normally listen to the podcast or people promoting the podcast or sharing it on Facebook, you know, talking to me in person when they ran into me afterwards or something, just talking about it. I know even my parents sat down last night and they listened to the first part of it, which I don't think they ever listened to the podcast. So it's just kind of funny, but it's one of those where, okay, human trafficking is a huge need that needs to be addressed. It's a very big problem. And you're seeing the people on the front lines doing it, doing something about it. So it's very humbling, honestly, just to be able to sit down with, you know, warriors like that. I mean, that is such a cool thing. And just how honored I am to have had Rachel and Julia just come on the podcast and talk about what they're doing. I know we talked afterwards about doing like a follow-up episode with some other people that work in the organization. One guy who currently works in Washington, D.C. and helped co-found RestoreCorps, because he could talk more about some of the other sides and some of like more in-depth analysis on some of the issues. And also just having it come from a man's perspective, Rachel believes that could be beneficial. I do too, because we need to talk about what's actually causing these problems so we can actually address them and fix them. So really hoping to at some point do a follow-up episode with RestoreCorps, the people of RestoreCorps, and then potentially even some other partners and working in different ministries to talk about more of the social issues that need to be addressed and what they're doing. In the description for both those episodes, it talks about there's a couple hotline numbers if you or someone you know is wrapped up in human trafficking, or whether they're a victim or an offender or a survivor looking for just assistance. There's a couple hotline numbers there. Of course, you can visit RestoreCorps. It's Restore, RESTORE, and then Corps, CORPS.org, and get in contact with people there. Of course, law enforcement's always a real quick fix. Go ahead and contact law enforcement. And then also to see how you can get involved. Of course, COVID-19 has thrown it always throws, you know, a wrench into everything, but it's kind of hurt their volunteer and assistance efforts because they can't do a whole lot with the pandemic. So hopefully when stuff kind of cools down, if you want to get involved, if you live in the Memphis area, and even if not, if you have, you know, clothes donations, money, diapers, diaper wipes, baby wipes, stuff like that, stuff that's very valuable to young women, young mothers, even, you know, men, but especially women as most of the clientele, reach out to RestoreCorps. You can reach out to me and we can get you involved, get you plugged in, and help them out. So again, yeah, Rachel and Julia, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing what y'all are doing. Thank you for coming on, giving me the opportunity just to showcase what you guys are doing. Thank you for all the hard work you do. And again, human trafficking is happening all around us. You can look up more stuff online about red flags and what to look for. If people work in education, that's near and dear to me being a teacher's kid. If you work in education at all in any capacity, you have a pretty unique and vital role in helping it, because you work firsthand with a lot of kids long term. You know, over the span of 9-10 months, you get to see a lot of these kids, you know, day to day through life. So if something's going on, you know, keep your eyes peeled, because you're seeing changes in behavior, changes in appearance, in dress, and even attitude, confidence, whatever it is. There's a good chance it could be involved in something like that. So if you work in education or in any kind of vocation that works around, you know, young kids, young adults, yeah, keep your eyes peeled. Again, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Rachel. And thank you, Julia. I guess February was the month of the female, because then, yeah, even Morgan recorded in February too. So great. And I guess March is Women's History Month. So there's a little, I guess, a prologue to that. Also this month we had Cattle Call Periodical. It is the news. It's about 5 minutes or less, Monday through Friday news show, separate from Cattle Call Podcast, but still done by me. Cattle Call Periodical started at end of January. So February was the first full month of Cattle Call Periodical. Again, it's national news, international news, politics, sports, entertainment, and either what that national day is or what that happened on that day in history, Monday through Friday. You can, you know, subscribe, follow, follow anywhere. Anywhere you can find Cattle Call Podcast, you can find Cattle Call Periodical. It's blue and gold, just like Cattle Call Podcast. And yeah, so now you know where you can go to get some not overbearing, over negative news. Again, so Morgan Tucker will be coming out this next week. After that, we'll have a young lady named Liz Roper. Again, another stranger, but that's going to be a very special episode because that's going to be one about sexuality. We're going to talk about just the concept of sex, sex in culture today, I think, as a Christian, and especially as a, well, especially as a Christian, but as a Christian, as a conservative, and as a man, you know, it's a topic I think that, you know, we definitely need to have an honest conversation about. And Liz is somebody who's very passionate about those subjects, provides a whole different perspective. I guess we haven't gotten to talk a whole lot, but from what we have talked, I know we're different ideologically. Of course, she's a little bit older than I am, and she's a woman. And again, she's a lot more well-versed in this subject. I honestly don't know a whole lot about, you know, sexuality and the concept of it, but eager to learn and hopefully have something good come out of it where people can also hear different perspectives on things. So if you have any questions, any just burning questions, or any topics or issues surrounding sex and sexuality, you know, you can get in contact with me, and I'd love to, you know, write some questions, you know, directed towards getting some answers to those topics. So yeah, that'll be Liz Roper. Also, hopefully this month, going to go back to Battleground South, who's sponsoring the episode, and do some roundtables. I've been in contact with Julian today about that. So those will be a couple, probably 2 to 4 guests total, and want to have different perspectives on issues. We'll probably keep it to about 2 issues per roundtable discussion. So if there are social issues, I mean, it can be transgender bathrooms, it can be universal healthcare, it can be military industrial complex, you know, it can be school choice. I don't care. Anything, again, more burning questions. If there's topics, if there's issues that people are dying to just hear different perspectives on or be challenged, if you want to have your mind open, if you want to be challenged, or if you want to even be reinforced on certain topics, you know, throw them my way, cattlecallpodcast@gmail.com. You can go cattlecallpodcast on Facebook, on Instagram, Isaac O. Weston on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Get in contact with me, give me some topics, and we can hopefully have people on both sides of the political aisle, people in the middle, and people just with different backgrounds and circumstances sharing their expert opinions on those topics. So hopefully we can start, making some headway on some of these issues. So that'll hopefully become this month. So should be a pretty productive month, Lord willing. So Cattle Call Podcast is up. Cattle Call Periodical is up. If you do not mind, review, you don't have to leave like an actual written out review, but if you would just give an honest review of how you think the podcast is going, definitely want to learn and get better and see what needs to be improved. And got a couple other interviews potentially on the horizon here with some pretty notable guests. So, I really would like to, continue to, you know, evolve and improve. So just honest feedback helps me out a ton. If there are certain topics, and it doesn't have to be even for the roundtables, if you know of a certain guest or a certain topic, or, you know, job, something you're interested in that I haven't hit on yet, let me know. And, I'd love to get in contact with people working in, those kind of areas so that we can, you know, again, we can talk about what they're doing and have people learn from them too. So again, just get in contact with me. Love to get, again, anybody and everybody, just let's get them all up here. Let's talk about stuff. Let's have some honest conversations and hear people's stories. You just reach out to me. And again, just please give an honest review, honest feedback. I don't care if it's 0 stars, 1 stars. I want to know. I want to get better. Also, because Battleground South has sponsored Cattle Call, we can now open the floodgates here to more sponsorships. So if you have a brand, if you have a side hustle, if you know somebody that does, if you own a restaurant, a car detailing business, a cigar lounge, not a cigar lounge because I already got one, anything like that, and you want a little bit of publicity, get in contact with me. I'd love to sponsor or help you out. I'd love for you to sponsor the podcast and love to help you out and hopefully get a little bit of, business directed towards you as well. So if you're interested in sponsoring, go ahead and give me a text or a message or a call or a DM or whatever you want to do, and we'll make it happen. All right. Let's see if I can wrap this guy up here in under half an hour. Just real quickly, I'm trying to average a book a week for 2021. So I officially finished 1984 by George Orwell earlier this month. Then I read The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. And then I read Captivating by John and Stacey Eldridge. And I'm working on two books right now that they're not officially done, so I can't mark them down for February, but hopefully March. Just real quickly, 1984. You may have had to read it in high school. A lot of people had to. I didn't. That's why I read it now. Good book. I'm not a big government fan, so really like the book. So I do recommend that, of course, whether you like the government or not. It talks a lot about human nature, and it's a very old book. It was written in, I want to say, like 1949 or something. Sometime in the late 40s after World War II, it was published, and a lot of it's still relevant. Great Divorce. The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis is written like a fiction novel. And it's very, poetic, I'll say. Pretty, symbolic and metaphoric, a lot of the stuff. It reads very easily, even though it is C.S. Lewis with thick words and, real vivid imagery. Just a good, solid book. Different than just him talking about a topic and you having to digest it. It's like you're reading the story of a traveler on a bus who goes from hell to heaven. So it's just very good. If you're philosophical, or especially if you're Christian or into religion, it's a good one to read. And then Captivating, it's the counterpart book to Wild at Heart, which Alex Tucker and I talked about on her episode. I think to this day, Wild at Heart might be the best book I've ever read outside of the Bible. So I definitely recommend it. And then Wild at Heart pretty much put John Eldridge on the map as an author. So a couple years later, John and his wife, Stacy, wrote Captivating, which is based off of a Bible verse talking about how the woman's heart and how it's been captivated by God. So it has something with that. But it talks about the way women are wired, and it talks about it theologically, and then it talks about it just in a real-world sense and stories that they've seen of women in their lives, whether success stories or sad stories. But it's a very insightful book. It's a good book. And just to wrap it up here the last couple minutes, February was a monumental month for a lot of reasons. One big reason, which I'm now comfortable sharing, is I was in a relationship with a great young lady for just shy of 4 years of dating, and it ended earlier this month. Just God is sovereign. Different plans, I guess. Not different goals or missions, of course, but just, God is sovereign and has different things for different people. So experienced an end to a relationship. So read Captivating, in the wake of that, which was good, which was helpful. And just knowing, going forward, just the way women are wired, what can be done differently, and just also what to know, and maybe answer some stuff. The big takeaway, God is sovereign. I love saying that. I know I say it a lot. I know I said it a lot tonight. If anyone knows me real well, I say it quite a bit. And I do truly believe it. By the grace of God, I really do believe God is sovereign. And I've had a lot of great, great experiences in my 24 years of life that are a testament to God and His sovereignty. The idea of sovereignty is it's this area that is completely ruled over by a figure. This figure has their hands in everything and can control everything and has authority over all of it. And, you know, as a Christian, I believe that the God of the Bible is, you know, the God of the universe and is in control. At the end of the day, God wins, and he is sovereign, and his plan is always best. So I do believe that. Kind of to bring this thing full circle, one thing Wild at Heart talks about that I remember, and you know, it's been a couple years since I read it, so I really need to read it again, but it talked about one thing we're supposed to do as humans is we need to find what it is that connects us to God, and we need to pursue that. And we also need to find, like what Gil Bailey was saying in the quote that opened the podcast, we need to find what it is that makes us come alive, and then we need to pursue that. Because if you're doing what makes you come alive, and you're doing what connects you to God, and for both those things, they can be little things. They don't have to be some big life choice, some big career change, and I'm going to up and move, or I'm going to live in an Airstream or something. It can be little things. It can be going on drives. It can be, you know, waking up and going for a run in the morning. Whatever it is that connects you with God, as long as it is within the confines of Scripture, of course, you can't say, oh, man, doing rails of cocaine connects me. No, you can't do that. But if you, again, if you going out into the mountains and sketching and journaling, if that connects you with God, you need to find time in your schedule, in your yearly calendar, to make stuff like that happen. And if there's a thing that makes you come alive, that just really just lights a fire in your belly, that's something from God too. And you need to do that and use that and pursue that, because that's something that was given to you to use, and that will make the world around you a better place. And ultimately that will accomplish God's mission for your life. And I know it's very vague. And of course I'm still trying to figure stuff out. The day after, we had a discussion which, you know, yielded the relationship coming to an end. It wasn't nasty. It was a very cordial discussion between two Christians. The next day I went for a nice long, I had nothing on my schedule. I went for a nice long drive down to the great state of Mississippi, which I do love. Drove about an hour and a half away, and just drove and smoked a cigar and had the sunroof open, had great 60-degree blue sky weather, and just talked to God and cried and put it all out there and processed things and just sat in silence and just drove, smoked a cigar, drank a coffee. And one thing that's always connected me with God, especially in recent years, has been nature, but not just nature in general. For me, it's always been like birds of prey. I love birds of prey, and I especially love red-tailed hawks. I just adore red-tailed hawks. I actually saw one today. I had to run a couple errands this afternoon, and right there on a power line, that was probably 15 feet above the road, running parallel with the road, was just a fat red-tailed hawk just sitting there, just looking down at the grass below it. And it's just one of those scenes where it's like, man, when I see it, I think of God, and I think about his beauty, and I think about his power, and I think about his order to the universe. And it's just, red-tailed hawks have always just done that for me, where there's something that connects me with God. So of course, going on this drive the day after our relationship came to an end, I was just out driving, just thinking, just talking, just reflecting. And it was great hawk weather, of course. And I saw tons of hawks in the, you know, 3-ish hours I was out driving. And it's just one of those things where, and I just want to leave the listeners, all of you, and also myself, just with this, that God cares about you. He does. I don't know what your experience is with religion. I don't know what it is, just with your parents or with your friends or with the church or synagogue or mosque or whatever. But I do believe that God is sovereign, and because God is sovereign, he does care about you, and he cares about all of us. No matter where you're at in life and what you believe and what you're doing tonight, what you're doing before or after you listen to this episode, he cares about you and he wants what's best for you. And it might hurt and it might suck, but he is sovereign. And since he does care for you and love you, his sovereign plan will benefit you. You just got to be obedient to it, and you got to just be submissive. There's a lot of God sovereignty stories I could tell. Just a super, 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 super quick one. I think about the reason I even came to Memphis in the first place. It was out of nowhere, one of those God is sovereign moments. And it was the first, probably first thing in my life I could ever point to and say, hey, God is sovereign, which was senior year of high school. I'd been accepted to the University of Alabama and the University of Tennessee. I was very excited, especially to go to Alabama. And was working on my architecture portfolios for both. And I'd already been accepted to school, so I was feeling pretty secure. And out of nowhere, a lot of stuff in life changed, and Memphis came out of nowhere, and I felt the Lord directing me to Memphis. And I'll never forget, I was about to actually leave one night. I think it was after work, and I just wanted to go for a drive, which I like to do, to connect with God. And I remember walking out of my house in Spring Hill, and I was walking out to the driveway, and I remember thinking that, okay, in the book of Jonah, God told him to go to one city, which was Nineveh, told him to go to this one city, and instead he ran the exact opposite geographical direction. He went to a city in the opposite direction, but the story ends with him in Nineveh, and God's will is accomplished. So I remember thinking as I was walking out of the house, okay, either way, God's will is going to be done. Either way, the outcome is going to remain the same. I can either be obedient and just embrace the suck now and just be obedient and get on with it, or I can run and fight. And again, ultimately, I'm still going to be in the same spot, but I would have wasted time and I'll be even more hurt. So do I just go for it now, or do I want to delay the inevitable? And it was like, dude, just be obedient now. God is sovereign. And ended up going to Memphis, and a lot of stuff in life changed. And it was a great, great decision. But again, it was completely from the Lord. So, and then I thought about some other little things that have happened throughout my time in Memphis and elsewhere, but during this time of life. And as I was driving around, smoking a cigar, looking at hawks, talking to God, every time I looked at a hawk, I would think about, man, like that's how much God cares about you. And if he cares about a hawk, and he cares about me seeing that hawk and seeing him, then he cares about my life. If he cares that much about something that's really so insignificant, he's going to care about the big things. So that's what I want to leave everyone with as we wrap up Smoke and Mirrors, February 2021. He cares about you. And he is sovereign, and he is in control. And that really is where our hope is found. That's it. And if he wasn't, then all of this would be for nothing. But I truly do believe it. And it's so encouraging, and it's so peaceful to know that. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Battleground South Cigar Lounge, for sponsoring this episode. Again, please leave a review. Please send suggestions, guest suggestions, topic suggestions, roundtable suggestions, anything. Send them my way. We're just getting this thing going. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the support. This is Cattle Call Podcast. I'm Isaac Weston, and I will see you on the other side.